keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
What's up, Simple Church? Come on, y'all. Let me hear you. Hey, listen, man, thank you so much for joining us, man. We are glad that you are back in the house. Just to let them have you one more time. Come on. Are you good to be back in the house? Is it good to be back? Come on. Hey, listen, man, you have a chance to be back in the house as well. Make sure you get your tickets for this right here. It's important to be in the municipal, but it's also important to remember Easter is just around the corner, and we are going to be back live in the building. All you have to do is go to our website or download the app, and you click right there, and you can get your tickets. And again, the tickets are free. It's just so that we know how many people are coming to what hour. We want to make sure we are prepared for you. We got to get donuts in place. Can I get an amen on that, son? That's what I'm talking about. You got to make sure child care is in place. You got to love the fact that the kids are going to have something to do outside. We'll make sure there's enough eggs. All of that gets covered when we see those tickets are being picked up, so we make sure we are prepared for you. But I am super excited that you're a part of today's message, and I've been kind of warning people, and we have what we call a pre-show, and even this past week, talking about it on our podcast. The Simple Church is different. There is no doubt about it. Everybody knows it. If you've been in the Shreveport-Bossier area or now in the Dallas or Houston or Kansas City, you're beginning to figure out, hey, man, it really is different. And we know that. But today's message, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what makes it so different. We've heard it over and over and over again. Simple Church, it's different. And we know. And that's why we kind of have a little fun with it in this series. We want to explain to you everything, the ins and the outs of what makes us different and why we're so different. So whether it's getting you to think differently, which that's part of what we believe is, man, getting your mind right, that's a big deal. It's also about maybe getting you to act a little different. Can I get an amen on that somewhere, Christians? Yes. We want to think different, we want to act different. But then the next one is a key important too. It's just being different. We want you to know that as we are walking in this culture, our hope, our desire, our prayer is that we would be different, that people would recognize a difference in us. And then, of course, if you're trying to figure out where to go to church or what church is going to look like moving into 2021 and getting back into the flow of things, we want to even church different. And for 14 long, beautiful years, setting up and tearing down and moving location to location, that's exactly what we've been doing, is trying our best to church differently. And maybe, just maybe, you're tuning in going, man, I'm trying to decide if this is what I want to do, if I want to be a part of Simple Church. Or maybe you're here and you're going, I still don't fully understand why they do everything that they do. I hope after this series it will be very clear to you. It'll encourage you, and it might just challenge you to say, you know what, I need to think a little different when it comes to church as well. Now, to give a little disclaimer as I get ready to go into today's message, it is based on my experience growing up in church. All of the things that we're going to talk about are really going to go back to my experience growing up in church. Now, let me, in case you don't remember this, or maybe you're not a part of this generation, we had something called church directories. Does anybody remember that? Here's a picture for you, just so you can kind of have an idea. This is about the time frame that I was in church in the 80s, all right? And then as a teenager, you go, wow, is that really, that's not me or Angie or my family, but just have a little fun with it. But what did you look like, Justin? Here it is. You ready? Here's the picture. As you can see down in the bottom there, I don't look too happy to be in that picture. And my brother looks a little uptight. Can you get an amen on that? Look at them shoulders. Because this is the way it was. You had church directories, and you came in, and it was a little uptight. It was a little bit sometimes not so happy of a time. So as you start thinking about Simple Church, why are we the way we are? Well, this is my experience growing up. And it didn't just stop there. I mean, it wasn't just when I was a child. Just to have a little fun, my beautiful wife, you ready for this? Check this out. We look like we're stoned in this picture. Pray for me, all right? But we kind of laughed. I found this. This was a directory picture that we had years ago, and look, you know it's kind of funny when Angie got on that white cardigan, son. I'm talking about like Mr. Rogers standing there too, because that was the culture. You dressed differently. You kind of played the mold, the game, fit the mold, whatever. And if you think it was just me and my family, well, I'm going to bring my brother back into it too, because here is Teresa, and look at their babies, all right? Look at him. He's still not smiling all these years later. Because we already know it was a little weird. I mean, church in general, for me and my brother growing up, was a little different. And I'm not talking about in a good way different.
It was a challenge for us. And as we walked through that, we always dreamt of something that we would enjoy, look forward to, get up and go, man, I can't wait to be a part of it. And one of the reasons why that we wanted it to be differently is because when we evaluated what church was all about back in the day, there was one huge statement I think most of you can understand and agree with. When it came to spiritual depth, like your deepness, man, I am deep in the Word, or I am deep in my relationship with God, it really was equated to one thing: how often you were in the church building. Can anybody remember that or relate to that? Let me hear you if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So here's what happens. The idea was simple. If you're going to be deep, if you're going to go deep, you got to be in the building. So we created a lot of different things to entice people, encourage people to come inside the building. You had Sunday school, you had training union, you had Sunday morning services, you had Sunday night services, you had Wednesday night services, you had revivals, you had WMU, you had mission friends, you had Monday night visitation, you had RA's basketball. Anybody remember any of those things right there? That is a small list of all the things that I personally grew up in. It was always like, hey, every day there was something to do, every night they were pushing for something to do. It was the idea that if you're going to go deeper, if you're going to be more committed, if you're going to really go next level with Jesus, get inside the building, participate. What I figured out in my life, and as I evaluate my life, again, this is based on my personal experience growing up, it led to three things. One was burnout. The other thing was people were running out of the church. And then the last thing is people would lock people out of the church. Now, you go, well, what do you mean? Well, some people burn out because they were always trying to do something. Other people ran away from it because they're like, man, I can't possibly keep up this pace. And then we did Monday night visitation. We would experience this many times. Many people would lock us out of getting into their house. Now, to have a little fun with that and to kind of remind people that if you've never grown up with that, especially with COVID or, you know, people visiting people in homes, you're like, does that really still happen? Here's a little fun with it. And this is an Easter video for you right now in this culture to have a little fun of what it looked like when people rang the doorbell. Watch.
Hi, it's your neighbors, Jim and Joanna Sanders.
Yeah, we made you some Easter eggs.
We sure did.
Yeah.
Hey, since you're the man of the house, I want to come talk to you mono e mano.
Oh. See what he did there? You're a man.
Play on words. Whoa. Just take a minute. I don't want to take away from that pagan golf tournament that you're probably watching in there. But it did hit me when I saw the trashy secular Easter decorations that you have outside your house that you probably don't go to church to worship our Lord and Savior except for Christmas and Easter, like 68.7% of the rest of the American population.
Oh, you're my little man, please.
None for the neighbors. Stay on track.
Well, the reason why we're here is because we wanted to invite you to our Easter services at our church. Now, I've made the plan of salvation into these Easter eggs here, and each color represents something you've done wrong.
Sure does. Whoa, he's flatlining. Whoa. What my dear wife is trying to say, when we leave on a Sunday morning to go to church, your car stays out in the driveway, which makes me know that you probably don't go to church unless you're holding a church service in there or something, but I don't think so. So how about you pack up your brood and you come with us to church service on Easter celebration Sunday, huh?
Okay, sure. I mean, my wife and I were just talking about where we would go this Easter, so sure, we'll give your church a shot.
Houston, we have a problem.
What's the matter?
No one's ever said yes to us before.
Oh, what do we do?
Well, we just back away slowly. All right. Okie dokie. Okay, don't look at him in the eye. He could take away your soul.
Okay, all right. We'll just leave the eggs in the mailbox.
We sure will.
Now, the big red one represents your sin. It's the sin egg.
All righty. We hope to see you there. We'll save you a seat, okay?
Really?
No, that's just an intimidation tactic. Okay, toodles.
Can anybody relate back in the day? Come on, man, all right? You know that's the way it has been for a long time. And, of course, you know, the skit guys are having a little fun with it. And hopefully, prayerfully, you do get it. The goal was simple. Just get people in the church. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's now, if it was then, it was the programs, if it was whatever. It was like, how can we get people into the church?
Now, the reason this is a good goal is because that's still the goal. We're hoping that people come. We're hoping that people attend. We're hoping that people participate. And we get this idea from Hebrews chapter 10, and you heard this quote a lot through the pandemic, all right? This is what people are saying. We must not quit meeting together as some are doing, all right? This was the idea, which is not a bad idea, very scriptural based. No, this becomes more and more important as the day gets closer. This is where most of the over-programming or the encouragement to come comes from is this passage. Hebrews 10 is like, hey, man, let's not quit meeting together. Come on, we need to be a part of it. Now, just to be clear, as I get ready to move forward, we think this is a good idea as well, is that you do find ways to gather. It's not a bad idea to get people in church, ever. But how we get them in church, this is what's been the debate for years. I mean, centuries, if you want to go back that far. And so what happens is you will see different people try different things to get people to come. Visitation is one, inviting to Easter or to a regular service, like, hey, man, come and be a part of it. I ran across, if you may have seen these before, but the little marquees out front of churches. Well, here's one that they tried. Let's see what this works for them. It says, now's a good time to visit because our church, our pastor's on vacation. Can I get an amen, right? Hey, man, you got to give them an A for trying. I mean, the idea is like, hey, man, come on in. We want you to be here. Well, this is just one technique. You've seen these marquees. And then they went not just from like the letters that you could move around because kids were going in there and messing those letters up. Have you ever seen that? Which I won't show you in the videos, but you get it. They moved to now digital marquees. You've probably seen this as you go by, including like this church. Again, they're going, hey, man, we got yoga every Tuesday and Thursday. Come on in. And they begin to come up with programs that maybe, just maybe, would entice people to come inside the walls of the church. One of my favorite programs they came up with is, anybody ever been a part of bingo in a church? You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, man, we got total prizes. Every Tuesday, you can meet 7:35, early bird, accessible, right? This is the idea. It was like, how can we convince people to come in, whether that's yoga, whether that's bingo, whether it's the pastor's on vacation, do whatever we got to do. And if that didn't work, if you go back even further, they tried to really look at buildings to entice people. So what they do on the inside, they'd say, come on the inside just so you can see how beautiful it is. And if you've ever been to Europe, you have seen this building after building after building. The idea was simple, that people would come in and they would want to get in just to see the beautiful art. And if it wasn't on the inside that was enticing, they actually built the outside to be enticing. I have been here. I have seen this beautiful church. It looks a little bit like a sandcastle when you walk up on it, but that was the idea. Man, make the building so beautiful, so powerful, that it was unbelievable, all right? That you got to be a part of it. And then if it wasn't the programs, if it wasn't the inside of the building, the outside of the buildings, another thing was the music. Now, I grew up when it was an organ and a piano. Anybody remember those days? Okay. And I kind of went through that time, and then it switched to where there was actually drums and guitars. And I found this cartoon that really puts it best like this. It says, after 50 years as the church organist, Gladys made a genuine effort to adjust to the new worship format. Because all you have to do is look right now and go, man, things have changed. Well, why wouldn't they change the music? Why would they build beautiful buildings inside and out? Why would we come up with all these programs? What was this all about? Are you ready? You already know this, but a reminder. Whatever it takes, just get them in the building. Because they were defining success by three things that maybe as an outsider or someone who didn't grow up in church, you have never heard before. We wanted people, and I've been in the church business for a long time of trying to get people into the church. And when I look back over the years, there were three things that everybody talked about. We called it the big three B's. And you go, what are you talking about? You ready? Booties, buildings, and budgets. That's how they defined success. It was like, how many people are in there? How many buildings do you own? And how big is your budget? And this was why they wanted more and more people. Sure, it was salvation. Sure, it was leading people to Christ. That is obvious. But also, at the same time, there was this underlying current of going, how are we going to be different? Man, we're going to have a building program, or we're going to have this beautiful, again, inside program that we want you to be a part of. We need to have money to pull all these things off. And in good, genuine efforts, still to this day, the challenge is still there. And this is what happens, and I was a part of it. I can still be a part of this day that you go, all right, God, help me work through this. There's not really any surprises of anything I've told you, but the big three becomes really the big focus if we're not careful. If I'm not careful, if you're not careful, if Christians aren't careful, that's what you are concerned about. That's what you make the focus. It's like, hey man, we got to meet. You need to come back in. We need to do this. Why? We have buildings we got to make sure they're taken care of. We have budgets that we need to meet. And the only way I know if it's happening is if I can see you. And if I can't see you, then it's not effective. It's not working. And what we're learning and what I am still trying to work through is, where is the church today and where is it going? And what does it look like? And God, what do you really want us to do in the middle of all that's going on right now? And so I went back and I look at Hebrews, that same verse that everyone quotes. Hebrews 10, 20, you know, the whole idea was like, don't quit meeting together. Don't forget this. But what I found is many people did not read the verse before that. So when you look at Hebrews 10, 24, here is a very interesting insight when it talks about why we're not supposed to quit meeting together. Are you ready? Kind of fits with what we do at Simple Church. We should think about each other. So the whole idea is like, hey, the reason I'm meeting is because I'm thinking about you. I'm trying to think about the other person. And to see how we can encourage each other to show love and to do good works. And then the verse says, so let's not quit meeting together. So what was he saying? He was like, listen, if you want to know what this gathering is all about, it's not buildings, it's not budgets. And sure, it might be the booties, it might be us, the fact that we're gathering, but are we gathering to encourage each other to show love? Are we gathering so that we can do more good things in the community to further the name of Christ? Or are we gathering for us, yoga classes or whatever? And I'm not against them, I'm just saying in general, is what's the deal here? There's one thing, if you look at the Simple Church, in the 14-year history that makes us very, very different, is we understand that as we're looking through Scripture and we see these things, consistently, over 14 years, this has been what we've been about. Showing love, even through a pandemic, and doing good in the hopes that in our actions, by the way, we have loved people, by meeting the needs or solving problems, as we say, they begin to go, man, I want to meet with them. I want to gather with them. Man, that seems like my kind of people, because we believe that when you look at this scripture, it's not about the buildings we own. It's not about the programs that we offer. It really is about you and I being so different and so contagious that it won't be about where we gather, because we could gather anywhere. It'll be about the fact that, man, what we've done is so real and so touching and so full of love that it's irresistible, that people say, man, I need to be a part of what they're doing. So if you want to know what makes the Simple Church different, and you have heard this, and it's probably still the number one question we get asked is, are you ever going to build a building? When are you going to have a building? How are y'all going to do this? How are you going to meet? Well, this is it. You ready? What makes us different? From the beginning, our desire is not and was not to manage our own buildings, but it was and it is to encourage you, to show love, and to do good. And in our culture, that's different. It's very different. Because most of the time, that's what gets talked about. When I grew up, it was always trying to figure out a program or try to figure out a building to make it enticing for people to be a part of it. And I have been there. I have done it for many years. And in the 14 years of Simple Church, we said, man, what if we can get away from that and we can focus on loving people and putting His love into action and solving problems and meeting needs, that the world goes, man, there's something different about that church. And yes, it's true. We own no buildings. We have only really one, and that's our office. You can't meet there. You can barely get the 20 staff people in there. But this is the thing that makes it unique. It is different from everyone else, the majority of other churches. This past 2 weeks or so, maybe a month ago now, a pastor calls me from the local area. And this was an interesting conversation, because he says, man, can we do lunch? And I'm like, man, absolutely. And the reason I leave this on the screen for you, because this is exactly what he wanted to meet about. He's a younger pastor than me, and he went to meet at a secret location because I'm not sure he wanted everybody to know that we were meeting. And we pull in, we get us a little Mexican food, and we're sitting down, and he was like, Justin, can I be honest with you? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, man, I am struggling. And I said, man, the pandemic, I mean, the church, he's like, yeah, I mean, sure, that's part of it. But he goes, it's been way before the pandemic hit. And I was like, well, what's going on, bro? Why do you want to meet with me? He goes, well, here's what I want to say to you up front. I said, okay, shoot. He said, Justin, when I got in the ministry, when I decided I wanted to be a pastor, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I'd be a pastor of air conditioners. I said, dude, what? Now, in case y'all don't know, let me just pull up a picture of some air conditioners. This is what the typical church looks like in just one wing. You got to have a lot of air conditioners to manage all of the meeting spaces. And so the reason I pulled this up here is, man, I love air conditioning. I'm for it. But I think what this pastor was trying to say after we met for about an hour was simply this. The majority of his time was meeting with committees and building people, trying to manage rundown facilities, making sure their electric bill is okay. And all of a sudden, when it comes to broken air conditioners and whether it needs new carpet or a leaky roof, he's saying to me, I miss focusing on solving problems and meeting the needs of people. And the majority of my time right now, because their facilities was a little bit older, their church was a little bit smaller now because of the pandemic, and all of a sudden the committees and the leadership teams were sitting there going, man, we got to get this fixed. They'll never come back. If we don't get this right, people won't come back in here, and we need to get our budget up because how are we going to manage this if we don't get our budget up? So this pastor was feeling the crunch of all of that coming down on him. Now, I know he watches the message, and don't worry, buddy, I'm not going to throw you under the bus and tell him who you are. But let me tell you something. I feel your pain, and as I prayed with you that day, and I know you got things on your heart, I still pray for you now because that conversation, that meeting has not left my mind. This is the thing that we talked about even that day. I was like, man, I feel you. And maybe this is where God called you right now, but maybe there is something we can do differently. Maybe there is some way that you can begin to say, all right, God, show me what it is that you want me to do. And to encourage everybody that's been a part of the Simple Church, they're watching and they're listening. And the reason it may be a little controversial today is because the majority, if not the vast majority of churches, don't follow this philosophy or this strategy. And they're trying to figure out how in the world could they do this because most can't do this. But this is, once again, what makes the Simple Church different. I'm not saying it's the right way or the wrong way. I'm just trying to describe to you on what makes it so different. But here's the thing, some people still ask, but you still have to have buildings to meet, right, Justin? You still have to have some way to do it. I'm like, well, true, kind of, because I'll give you an example right now. In 2020, if we've learned anything else, we have gathered differently. I'll put an image on the screen again just so you can know 10 ways to make the most out of watching church online. Now, will I say that it's the same as gathering? No, but I will say that watch parties have been pretty successful. I will say that when people do have a chance, they can gather up online. There's 700 or 800 people watching on Facebook right now. They're gathering in a little different way. So am I saying that's the future? I'm saying it'll be a part of the future because I don't think it's going away. Will I think it be the answer because we're not being able to see them? No, I hope that by watching and by participating online, it will move them into doing what Hebrews said, to encouraging people to show their love and to do good. Not to just sit and watch, but it should drive us to action. It should drive us to do something for someone else. And it should be full of love when we do it. This is the challenge. The church is not existing just to gather and sing songs and listen to sermons. You can do that anywhere. You can do that at home. You can do it online. You can do it anywhere. But the challenge is that we as believers would gather to challenge each other, to encourage each other, to show love in a tangible way, whether that's in the school, whether that's in the workplace, whether that's in the community, wherever it is, and that when we show that love, it would move into serving and doing good for them, like we've done for the nurses and like we've done for so many others. But for the sake of argument, let's say you have to have buildings, okay? Because in some ways you do. We have to have them here. You have to have them whenever we're doing watch parties, which, again, we're thankful to Tamales and Bojack's and Shane's, all the people who've made all that possible. We thank to all the homes that are doing life groups. There's different buildings that you do have to have. But here's the second part that makes us really different. Do you have to own those buildings? Well, if you don't know anything about the Simple Church, let me just tell you, we believe you don't have to own them. Let me tell you one of the good reasons why, and there's a lot of good reasons why, But here's one very powerful reminder of what makes the Assembly Church so different. 14 years ago, I was dead wrong on the size of the building that we needed to meet. I was wrong on the size. I was wrong on the location. I was wrong on everything. Because when you're trying to launch a church, you're trying to figure out, where are you going to meet? Right now, our friends in North Dallas, we're looking at a couple of theaters right now. Is it this theater? Is it that theater? Because you do have to have a building for those that would like to gather. And as you're launching, so I get it. But we're like, do we have to own that? Maybe not. So I was looking around Shreveport-Bossier 14 years ago, like, oh, I found the perfect location. And you may go, what's the location that you picked to launch the church? Here it is. This is the original location that I picked. You're going, what is that? Well, believe it or not, it wasn't the theater that we did eventually meet in. It wasn't an arena, because there was definitely not that many people coming. I thought one of these little shops would be the perfect size for the Simple Church. Now, let me tell you why that would have been a problem and would still be a problem to this day. It's because what we couldn't see is what God would do. And what we were able to do was not landlock ourselves and making a long-term lease or buying a piece of property that would limit the growth of the organization. Because very shortly after, here's what it grew to, and I don't think it would have fit in this building. That's just one shot of us at the CenturyLink. So you go, how would you have fit into the, you know, storefront between Shane's and, you know, Tandy Leather? You wouldn't have. Now, if you go, well, man, that's been a long time ago. Well, here's 2019 image, and all of these little dots that you see, those are all people. They would have never worked. But in my mind, I was only limited by what I knew. So I was like, man, I'm going to pick this location, and this will solve the problem. And I realized very quickly now, that's the problem when you own a building or when you build a building. You got to rebuild. You got to make it bigger. And then you go, well, how big and how much can we afford and how are we going to do this? And the next thing you know, that's what you're focused on. And then I love 1 Kings. You want to talk about some Old Testament love right here? This is a great principle that applies even to the New Testament that was, again, being said. There's not enough room in all of heaven for you, God. So this is the thing. How could you possibly live on earth in this temple that I have built? And if you don't remember this, this is the whole idea. God was saying, hey, back then and even today, I don't reside in any building. I reside in you. And the reason I want you to gather is not so that we can be a bunch of people in a building and to sing a song or to hear a preacher. It is so that when we gather, my Holy Spirit would encourage one another to leave out of that meeting place and go and do good and love people and point people to Jesus, not denominations, not buildings, but to Jesus. And how do they do that? By our love and by our action. And I'm going to say this again. I am not telling you it is the way to have church. I am just simply reminding you it is a way to do church. It is a different way to do church. Now, in case you don't see this, let me put this on the screen for you. Let's go and put it on there. It's not the way to do church or to have church. It's just a way. Now, why do I say that? Because people will criticize and people may come at us and go, you're telling me we can't have buildings. You're against our building program. No, I'm not. I am just trying to explain to you why Simple Church is different and what makes us different. This is just one example. And Municipal has been a huge blessing to us. Shreveport Convention Center been a huge blessing. The Regal Theater's a huge blessing. Even the bar that we met in was a huge blessing. Can I get an amen on the bar lover? No, I'm just kidding. Like, yeah, I don't know if I should clap for that, but yes. It didn't matter where we met. It was the fact that we were just coming together to encourage each other, to go show love and to do good. Go look up Hebrews. That's what he was saying. Let's not quit meeting together. Why? Because it's not just about singing or sitting and listening to a sermon. It's about putting it into action. Now, let me go to the next level. But come on, Justin. I mean, it's got to be more than that, right? Let me just say this. It's harder than ever to not own a building. It is inconvenient. There is no doubt. But there's got to be more reasons than just what you're saying, Justin. You just don't want to own a building. No, I agree with you. And let me give you the last reason as we get ready to kind of tidy this message up. You go, well, what's the last reason? There's another B. And the other B is when you don't own buildings, it saves budget money. You go, come on now, are you serious? I am very serious. So when we start thinking about what makes Simple Church different, we do look at this. In Simple Church 14 years, we don't talk about it a lot. But we have been very creative with our meeting spaces For one reason, so that we can reallocate money to things that matter. Let me put it on the screen for you. When we're creative with meeting space, it helps us to use our money differently. And you go, well, what would you use the money for? You gonna have a bigger retirement, Pastor? No, I'm not telling you that. You know that's not exactly what I'm trying to do. Matter of fact, it has nothing with what I'm trying to do. What do we reallocate money to? Something you know very well without ever me even saying it, but let's just for the sake of argument, it's scriptural based. 1 Timothy 6:18, tell them to do good, to do a lot of good things, to be generous and to share. Our goal is when we get money in to find ways to be generous and to share and to help people in the world and this community. Titus chapter 3, verse 14, our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. The scripture in the New Testament is not just kind of clear on this issue, it's extremely clear and it's extremely challenging because they don't talk about buildings. They talk about meeting needs. They don't talk about gathering in certain places. They say, as a matter of fact, they gathered at homes, they gathered wherever they could. Why? Because in the New Testament, the church was so active and so moving that, man, they couldn't contain them anywhere. And that's the whole idea of Simple Church. We want to be so active, so engaged in the culture, the community, and so free to use your money, God's money, to solve problems and change the world that we look back and go, that's the difference that we made. See, we love to sacrifice to solve other people's problems, not just ours. Sure, we have to rent facilities. Sure, there are expenses that come out of the budget, but let me tell you something. I am proud of the fact that you and I are able to do so much more in this community and around the world than we would have ever thought possible. How? Because we don't manage buildings, especially buildings that are sitting there empty, or trying to create programs just to get people in to fill the buildings up. We believe the church is the people, and we believe the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and you can't contain us, and we don't want to be contained inside of a building. The only reason to gather, whether that's online or in this room, is to motivate you, encourage you, to challenge you to show love and to do good, all in the name of Christ. And when you do that, the community, the world stops and recognizes it, and it changes you. It messes you up. And you go, what do you mean, Justin? Let's go back to the early church, since maybe there's some theologians in here that would like to debate this whole argument. This is one of the most powerful examples of what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 4 says this, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. Why do you need to know this if you're a part of Simple Church? Because you may have a different philosophy. You may think differently. But the reason that we want to all be of one heart and one mind, because watch what happens. Because no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own. Not just the church building. Dude, we fought over Sunday school rooms. I need to have this in my room, and this is my room, or that's this, or this is our field, or this is that. We can't let anybody else use it. He's going, no, listen, go back real quick. All of their possessions were not their own. This idea was going, hey, listen, man, I don't own anything. It continues on, as the next verse here. But they shared everything they had. The heart was, is what I have is yours. What I have is yours. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, are you ready for this? That there were no needy persons among them. You want to know how we should be doing things and how we are trying to get more back to the New Testament? Because just check your pulse. Do you have some needs? I mean, are you gathering in a church and you're going, man, I wish we could do this, or man, we're having a hard time through COVID, or man, I lost my job. In the early church, in the New Testament, they were so committed to this idea of not owning anything, not buildings, not structures, not facilities, but they were so committed to saying, we're of one heart and one mind. If there's a need, we're going to gather up and we're going to meet that need. And from time to time, listen to this, those who owned land or houses sold them. Why wouldn't they sell their land and houses? Now we're not even talking about church buildings. We're talking about their personal buildings. Next slide. So they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That is the New Testament. That is an idea that we love, and we're going, God, we want to be more like that. Are we there yet? No. We got a long way to go. But is that the dream? Is that the hope? Is that the plan? Absolutely. And listen, it happened to me just a few weeks ago. Somebody came to the church, they sold a house, and they brought the money to the church and said, hey, listen, we want you to know that we are committed to doing what God wants to do. Some of you are going, man, you're crazy. I would just say, no, they're more obedient or maybe even more blessed. Because I'm not going to give you their name. I'm not going to tell you what they're doing. But here's what blew me away is they saw when we're feeding doctors and nurses, when we're putting shoes on the feet of kids, whatever it is they're going to do, and I'm for it. Hebrews 13:16, are you ready? This is, again, just a few chapters over from that don't forget meeting together. It also says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Luke 12 continues, sell what you have and give to those in need. All righty? Luke 12, sell what you have and give to those in need. This will fatten your purses in heaven. All of this over and over again, look out through the entire New Testament, it's just different. Once again, we're different. No pressures, no campaigns, no offering in 14 years. People are going, that's not possible. How in the world have you had a church you've never passed a plate? Well, there's a lot of different ways you can pass plates. I put some of them here. You can have a popcorn bucket. You can have a wood. You can have a nice felt bag with a handle to reach way in there. You know what I'm saying? You can do gold. You can do plastic. You can do, look, the chicken bucket, the golden bucket. You can do a lot of different things, but let me tell you something. In 14 years, none of those have been passed at the Simple Church. You know why? It's because we really believe, man, if we can get it, if we can be different, God can really do some cool things. It's also kind of convenient in the middle of a pandemic that we didn't pass the plate because I found this. This is kind of what happens when it happens. But here's the other side of it. And it's a little bit of a joke, but the other side of it, I just want to tell you thank you. Because without ever passing a plate, you guys made it happen in the worst year in American history as far as churches are concerned. We didn't ever pass a plate, and coronavirus was going crazy, and people were dying right and left, and we had a big mess. But you know what? Somehow, some way, we kept on serving and giving to our community. And you know how? Because you got it. Thank you. Look at what God has done because of your sacrifices, because of your giving over the 14 years and even in the year of a pandemic. Are you ready? Quickly, I'll put it on the screen for you. $50,000 police and fire support, $120,000 to shoes and food for the kids in the area, $300,000 to local food boxes, $400,000 to Haiti and Honduran, $1.2 million to African-sponsored children over the years in 14 years. This is just a glimpse. And then just another little glimpse. Estimated over $6 million has been given away to do good, to solve problems. And guess what? How that happened was because of you. How that happened is because you get it. And I'll put a scripture on the screen for you, Old Testament included. Jeremiah 32:19. You plan and do great things. God does it. You see everything that people do. God knows. And you give a reward to those who do good things. God's blessed us because he blessed you. And because he blessed you, you continue to bless us. And we continue to make his name known in this community and around the world. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be what? Blessed. My Simple Church has been blessed. So why do I say all of that? Went a little long today for this one reason. Because we want to tell you thank you. We want you to know that we know we're different. Oh, it's different. We know. They don't even take an offering. We know. Man, they don't own any buildings. We know. And we also know the reasons we do those things. It's because if you're a part of Simple Church and you want to be a part of Simple Church, for the foreseeable future, as long as we can, as long as it is possible, not will we ever have a building? Maybe, one day, who knows? But let me tell you why we're not looking for it, not striving for it. COVID taught us one good reason why you didn't need one. It's because when something happens and a pandemic shuts everything down, you can be mobile, flexible, and go start meeting needs that no one else maybe can do. And I believe that as we look in the future, that's what God's calling us to do. Be more mobile. Be more flexible. Make sure that you use your resources the best as possible to let the love of Christ be known, whether it's police officers, whether it's nurses, whether it's kids who are hungry or kids that don't have shoes on their feet, or whether it's another country that's in a bind like Lebanon or Honduras. We should be sharing the love of Christ. And how do we do it? When you give, we give to those others. And we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your commitment, for your giving online, for your commitment to continue to get the vision of why we are who we are and why we do what we do. So you ready to be different? You want to be a part of it? Here's my first challenge to you. Get your tickets then. Get your tickets to be a part of the different Easter. What are we going to do? Where are we going to do it? At the CenturyLink or the Brookshire Grocery Arena? Yeah, it'll be a big arena, but let me give you the good news. We only rent it for those couple of days, and then we can let them have it back. Can I get an amen on that? So we're not managing a big empty building, but I'll also give you another reason we love it. It's because it's the biggest building in town. We believe it'll be the safest building in town. Why? Because we can spread out. We can sanitize everything. You don't have to worry about being into a small building. Spread out. Enjoy it. Bring your friends and be a part of something like never before. And guess what? I can promise you this. There'll be no offering taken either. We don't pass a plate. We don't have anything in there. You can go, hey, man, you can bring your friends and go, hey, man, we're good. But let me tell you what I will ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to sacrifice for other people. How? Quickly. We've thrown stuff in the past. I'm not going to show you those videos. Y'all know we've rolled the toilet paper thing. Man, we've thrown with Drew Brees. We've done all those things. Here's a couple of those pictures. This year, we're going to do something with a Lego. This year, this is what it's going to be. We're asking for a $10 donation, and we're not taking one penny of this. All of this money will go to local people rebuilding their lives, children going through cancer, and Lebanon, people that are battling. And I'm going to let Robin tell you a little bit more about that, because instead of me messing all that up, here is her to explain why this is so important this year. Watch.
Each brick in its right place makes a Lego creation stable and strong. Following the instructions, you can make some pretty amazing creations. But without those instructions or with missing pieces, it's hard to put it all in the right place. 2020, well, it felt like a year without instructions. So many of you and our friends around the country and the globe faced challenges that in a normal year would have been hard. From church being closed to the loss of jobs and income, sickness to food insecurity, cancer, war, and of course, COVID. It felt like pieces were missing and there was no way to rebuild our lives, no way to get back to normal or to see some pretty amazing things get put back together. It left us asking, how can we rebuild and move people from despair to hope? Well, Easter, it's all about hope. It's the hope that Jesus gave us through the power of the resurrection. He gave his life so that we could live and we could be the hope to those around us. This Easter, we will be back here at the arena. Like Easter's past, we will be doing things different to make a difference and bring hope. In the past, we have helped those in prison with socks, we've given toilet paper to the rescue mission, we've even thrown footballs with Drew Brees to raise funds to do laundry around our state. This year, we are rebuilding lives with Legos. For a donation of $10 or more, you can buy a brick. These bricks will be a very big part of the Easter service, and all donations will rebuild lives locally, nationally, and globally. Locally, we will rebuild lives of those impacted by COVID and other health issues, whether it's those needing counseling or even like the Gomez family who is rebuilding after months of hospital care here at home and in Houston. Your gifts will help provide wheelchair ramps for Steve as he comes home from the hospital and provide for the needs of so many others in our community facing unknowns. The Lighthouse Family Retreat focuses on rebuilding lives of families going through childhood cancer. Your donation will help many families rebuild memories and time together by providing all expense paid retreats to the beach this summer. Buying a brick will also make a lasting impact in the Middle East. Families from Syria who've lost everything to war have taken refuge in tent camps in Lebanon and are working to completely rebuild their lives from the ground up. Our partner, Heart for Lebanon, is helping them move from despair to hope by providing monthly gifts of food, supplies, and education. With every supply they give, they get to share the hope of Jesus Christ, and there's no better gift to give on Easter. This Easter, your brick, your Lego, your generous donation will build something beautiful, and it will rebuild lives locally, at Lighthouse, and in Lebanon. Yes, we know, it's different. The good news is Jesus gave us the instructions, and together we can put the right pieces in place to change the world around us.
Come on, y'all, give her a little love this morning. Come on. Here it is, and this is what it looks like. You don't want to miss the opportunity. We'll put that on the screen just so you can know. You can go to our app. You can go to our website. You can make a donation. All of that money will be given back to those people in need in this local community, in this nation, and around the world. So would you pray with me? Father, I thank you again for everybody listening. I pray, God, they'd hear our heart. We just want to be more like you, more like the New Testament church. God, we know that your spirit lives inside of us. If there's someone that doesn't have that yet, I pray today would be their day. they'd say, man, churches maybe knocked them off track. Maybe they've been frustrated by that, and maybe they heard something different today. Say, man, that's what I want to be a part of. Well, what we do is because you lead us that way, and you've shown us that way. So, God, it starts with a relationship with you, your Holy Spirit inside of us leading us. If someone needs that, I pray today they'd say, Jesus, come into my life, and you promise to meet them right where they're at. All we have to do is admit that we've made mistakes, and God, you know I've made a ton of them. But to believe that you went to that cross and died for me, and that you shed your blood, and not only, God, did your blood cover my sin, God, you went to the grave and overcame the grave. That's why we will celebrate that on Easter, as a reminder that we can overcome, that we can be alive, and we can be full of hope. And when this world desperately needs it, they're looking to the followers of Jesus to get that hope. God, we know it's unconventional. It's different. We pray, God, that as we try to follow you the best we can, God, that it would further your kingdom and that we would be your hands, we would be your feet, that we would love the way you called us to love and we would do good as you've asked us to. We love you and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. All right, so here's the deal, man. Please go get you a brick. We're fixing to go to a post show that's not going online. It'll go online tomorrow. If you want to volunteer, find out more about these bricks, more about what volunteer areas are needed. We're going to do that for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And we will give you everything you need to know to be a part of the Simple Church. Make sure you tune in on YouTube if you want to see this meeting, which will air tomorrow. We love you. Thanks for watching. God bless you. Thanks for helping us do what we do at the Simple Church. If you've given anything, thank you. Till next week, peace. Thanks for coming.